We're talking about the Zionist puppets for office. Now, here it is, 2015. They're all out. Boy, they're decking themselves. And you know, it's a principle of American politics today that you've got to be a backer of Israel. And if you're not, they're going to do everything they can to destroy you. They have the media clout. They own the media. The Jews do. And you'll be destroyed if you don't support Israel. And you've got to make it clear that you back them 100%. And they've never done wrong. And they're, they were put there by God. They're the only democracy in the Middle East, blah, 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 blah. And then the media will back you. Now, Sarah Palin was chosen for vice president by Jews. In fact, there were two Jews. One of them was Dick Morris, the campaign guy. And they went and interviewed her and auditioned her before John McCain had ever even heard of her as governor of Alaska. She passed her test, and then they sent her on trips to Israel. She was on all kind of Israel talk shows and such, telling about her undying love and devotion to Israel. She went back to Alaska, and then suddenly one day she got a phone call from John McCain. He didn't even want her as vice president, but they told him, this is the one you've got to choose. So he did. That's how she got on the ticket. Now, even to this day, she wears a little pin. Go on Google up photos of Sarah Palin. You'll see the little pin she wears. It's two flags together. A little pin she wears on her clothes. One flag is the United States flag. The other side, or I should say, on the same side, but side by side with each other, is the Israeli flag. The Star of David, so-called. Really, it's the hexagram of the witches. Right side by side with the United States flag. That's her two flags. She's not America first. Well, now, let's just talk about some of these candidates. I want you to know about them. Now, if I know that they're also for immigration reform, meaning amnesty for all these illegal aliens, I'll tell you that too. And they're all for war, by the way. Even Rand Paul, he's for war in the Middle East. If it'll help Israel, if it'll help protect Israel, that has 400 nuclear bombs, and I assure you, I think it's the fourth or fifth largest military force in the world. Well, nevertheless, it's under threat, these poor Arabs. Now, Jeb Bush, let's just talk about him. His brother W was the biggest Zionist we had as president in the last, 100 years, I suppose. Think of all that W did for Israel. I mean, he attacked country after country, lying, making up excuses why they needed to be attacked. He killed thousands of Americans, did it all for Israel. Thousands of Americans lost their limbs. Old George W. did it for America. Why, he hung Saddam Hussein. For who, America? No, Israel. Israel. Now, Jeb Bush is a big immigration backer. He thinks all of these illegal immigrants in America should be allowed to stay. He says if we allow them to stay, that would be, quote, an act of love. Huh? That's his words. He said the immigrants, illegal or not, should be allowed to stay because it's an act of love. He has no love for the Palestinians, the Iranians, or the Russians, but he loves the illegal immigrants. And it's an act of love, says Jeb Bush, to bring him in and keep him here. Now, he's married to a Mexican woman named Columba. I'm not kidding about this now. Jeb Bush is married to Columba, a Mexican woman. He has a son, and his son, let's see, what is his name now? George, isn't it? Yeah, George Bush said. Now, his son George, half Mexican, half Bush, just became the Texas Land Commissioner. He won political office. How did he win? Because the Bush dynasty sponsored him. Was he qualified? Well, of course not. He might have been qualified to be a dog catcher. I doubt it, because dog catchers actually need some qualifications. But he certainly wasn't meant to be the Texas Land Commissioner, but he's in that office. He's married. Well, in any case, Jeb Bush. Maybe that's why. Maybe he thinks it's an act of love. He's showing his love for his Mexican wife or his half-Mexican son, George, Jeb Bush. Of course, Jeb says he will defend Israel with all the power that America has. That's right. Defend Israel. Back it up. Now there's Governor Mike Huckabee. Now, people like Mike Huckabee, sort of a likable guy, tells a lot of jokes. You know, he had his own TV program on Fox News Network. Mike Huckabee. He was the governor of Arkansas. Now, he's been a big backer of Israel ever since the days when he started out as a Baptist preacher. I guess he still is a pastor. He still has a license to preach. He's a Zionist. And on his TV show, he actually went to Israel. And he wore the yarmulke there, the skull cap. And he broadcast his show while he was wearing the skull cap. And I saw him on TV there, and he was saying something like this. America should tell Israel how much we appreciate them. You know, said Governor Huckabee, God gave the title of this land to the Israel people over 3,000 years ago. You know, and I wrote that down when he said it. God gave the title of this land to Israel, to the people of Israel, over 3,000 years ago. Now, I wanted to see that title. He gave them the title. But I knew that they didn't really have a title, and I couldn't write to Mike Huckabee and say, hey, Mike, send me a copy of that title, because there is no title. And they didn't, you know, that land of Israel didn't even exist at the time. Now, God did give a piece of land to Abraham. He took him up on a hill, and he overlooked it, and he says, all the land that you can see is going to be yours and your people. Now, who is his people? Well, didn't he have a slave wife? And didn't he have a free wife? Well, who was the slave? And who was the free? What, did the slave's wife become Jews? Now, Abraham was not a Jew himself. See, things get real confusing when you actually read the Bible for yourself and don't make up stories, Mr. Huckabee. It says in the Bible that he basically is from the country that we call Iraq today. He was an Iraqi. He was from Ur, a city in the Chaldees, which is Iraq. And they worshiped the gods of Babylon there. And God took him out to the desert and gave him land and took him out from there. And there's where. And then God said, I'm going to make you a father. This is a direct quote. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Israel? No. Many nations. In fact, Israel didn't even exist at the time. So when people said Abraham is the father of Israel, I said, well, really? Really? But wait just a minute. He was the father of many nations. Name them. Israel and, well, you can't name them, can you? You see where you get all confused? Abraham was the first patriarch of Israel. Really? Was he? Oh, my goodness gracious. In any case, by the way, it says in Galatians 3, verse 29, that if you belong to Jesus, if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Ah, it's a spiritual thing then. You become a spiritual seed of Abraham. What does that mean? You're his heir. Whatever God gave him is yours too. What did God give him? Let me tell you the lovely inheritance of Abraham. It's in heaven. It's in heaven. And plus Paul said that Abraham did not look to an earthly city, but to a heavenly. He wasn't concerned with some earthly city named Jerusalem. It didn't even exist at that time. But he was very concerned with a heavenly residence. See how you can get things so mixed up, friends? How is it that if I asked you, who are the seed of Abraham? You would say, many of you would say, oh, that's the Jews. Then I would say, are you a Christian? You might say, yes, I am. I would say, well, then you're the seed of Abraham. Oh, no, I'm not. No, only the Jews. Okay. You know, the tongue is a mighty instrument, the Bible says. The tongue is a mighty instrument, and it can get you in a lot of trouble, friends. If you want to deny that you're of Christ Jesus, you can. You can deny it. Well, I am of Christ Jesus. I'm just not of Abraham. Well, it says there that if you're of Jesus, you are the seed of Abraham and you're an heir according to the promise. What is that promise? Eternal life with Jesus in heaven. That's the promise. That's the promise. Because he didn't look to an earthly city, but to a heavenly. That's the promise. Why would anyone who has died and gone on to be with Lord Jesus, why would they look back to this earth? You know, Jerry, I don't understand that of people. Oh, no, the Jews, they're going to have Israel forever. Hey, look, I love America. I do. I love the United States. I love Texas. This is my home. I've been all over this country, and I love every bit of it. North Carolina, California. There are a few states that I even love Chicago. That's pretty desperate when you love Chicago. But I love the place, and there's a lot of nice, beautiful places there. Nice, lovely people. But when I leave this location, Earth, when I leave this planet, when I go on to heaven to be with my Lord Jesus, I'm not going to look back, friends. You don't want to be a Lot and look back. Of course, Lot really didn't look back. His wife did, right? I shouldn't have said that. His wife, she still thought about what she was missing, you know, and she turned around and she became a pillar of salt, a pillar of salt. I one time read a story, and it was sort of a humorous story, but it had some good points to it, about this archaeologist that went to the Middle East, and he found hidden in a cave there a great statue of a beautiful woman. And he instantly recognized it as the statue of Lot's wife. It was a pillar of salt. It was a salt made of salt. And he thought it was so lovely. He said, I'm going to take it instantly to my office and lock it up. Well, he lived about, you know, he had an institute of the museum about 60 miles from where he found the statue in the cave, where it sat there for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, this salt statue. And he put it in the back of his truck, and he took off down the road, he and his assistants. And it immediately began a huge rain. And before anything, they got out of the truck and they didn't know what to do. They, you know, there was nowhere where they tried to put it in the cab of the truck and it wouldn't fit because it was a big statue. And finally, they just stood there as the salt just dissolved into nothingness. There was Lot's wife, a puddle of salt. Well, folks, well, let's just, Mike Huckabee, he's, you know, the guy has read the Bible, but he must only read the Old Testament parts. You know, where it says that, you know, Abraham is the father of many nations. He doesn't know what nations that, you know, they were, but he thinks it's only Israel. But he doesn't know that Abraham didn't look to Israel at all. By the way, Mike Huckabee was governor of Arkansas, where he also supported immigration reform. All these people, they try to tell you they're against amnesty and reform. That's not true. They're all for all these illegal aliens. Now, Mike Huckabee says, I'm for security at the border. I'll secure the border as president. Baloney! George Bush didn't do it. Bill Clinton didn't do it. George W. didn't do it. Barack Obama didn't do it. And neither will Mike Huckabee or these other clowns. Mike Huckabee actually said, listen to this, folks. He was at a Republican Party meeting, and somebody asked him, Mr. Huckabee, as governor of Arkansas, why did you support legislation that was passed by your legislature that gave free tuition to illegal aliens? And I want you to get that. If you're an illegal alien in Arkansas, you not only did not get arrested, but you got to go to college free at a state-supported institution. Now, I found out about that. I checked into it. Found out that in Arkansas, the people there have to pay tuition. But not if you're an immigrant. You don't have to pay any tuition. It's free. And if you come from one of the other 49 states, you have to pay about three or four times as much as an Arkansas resident. But if you're an illegal alien from Mexico or, hey, Red China for that matter, you got to go to school free. And so Mike Huckabee was asked about that. He said, well, I just considered it my Christian duty to approve that bill. He considered it his Christian duty. Well, why didn't he? I mean, there are a lot of poor Texans or Arkansans or New Mexicans or Louisiana's, why did he approve it for them too? Well, it was just my Christian duty. Which reminds me of Jeb Bush saying, it's an act of love. Oh boy. Now, Rick Santorum. Let's go to Rick Santorum, senator from Pennsylvania. I understand he's checking into running again. He may run for president again. Now, he's a good Catholic boy. But did you know that when he became senator, the first thing that happened in his office was a Jewish agent appeared. In my files, I actually have the name of the Jewish agent. He appeared. He was implanted in Rick Santorum's office by the Jews. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the Jewish ADL. They said that he needed a Jewish agent in his office to advise him on Jewish matters. Now, the Jews are only 2% of America's population. There are only 7 million Jews in Israel. There's only about 18.5 million Jews in the whole world. Why did he need a Jewish agent to assist him? So he had a Jew in his office to assist him. That's nice. Now, Rick Santorum is an interesting man. And he says if he becomes president of the United States, first thing he's going to do is attack Iran because they threaten Israel. All these senators want to attack, and others want to attack Iran because they're opposed to Israel. So they all want to get us into a big war, another war. They're all a bunch of warmongers. And they evidently have not read the Bible. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. But all these people say, blessed are the warmakers. I want to make war. Now, Rick Santorum has criticized Ted Cruz. See, Ted Cruz was invited by Christians in 2014. He went to this Christian affair, Senator Ted Cruz did. And he got up on the stage, and the group was called In Defense of Christians. In Defense of Christians. Now, Cruz knew what he was going to do there. You see, he did not like this Christian group. Okay? Because they were opposed to those in the Middle East who were killing Christians. And boy, friends, that's true. So many Christians are being killed in the Middle East. I mean, there's a holy war going on by the Arab terrorist, ISIS and the others, against Christians. They're crucifying Christians. They're killing them. They're raping Christian wives. And it's happening to hundreds of thousands of Christians. They're burning churches down in Iraq, Syria, and other places. And so this group was founded called In Defense of Christians. Now the problem is that there's also attacks on Christians inside Israel. Get that? By the Jews. Inside Israel. Now you want to wear a little cross on your little pin on your dress or on your suit? You want to wear a cross around your neck? Well, just go to Old Jerusalem. Go to Old Jerusalem, the old section, and see if some Jew doesn't come up and spit on you, assault you, get in your face and scream and holler at you because you're wearing that cross, because they hate the symbol of Jesus Christ who died willingly on the cross. They hate it, and they'll hate you for it. This group called In Defense of Christians is opposed to that kind of treatment of Christians. They're to defend Christians. So Cruz got up to this group, and he had planned his remarks in advance. He was going to make points with the Jews. I saw this on TV myself. And Cruz made a point to say he would not support groups in the Middle East who are not pro-Israel. Huh? Including Christian groups? That's right. I will not support groups in the Middle East who are not pro-Israel. He walked off the stage to a chorus of boos after telling the crowd he would not stand with them if they did not stand with Israel and the Jews. See, he was intentionally provoking this audience that he knew was not staunchly pro-Israel. Now, Rick Santorum rightly criticized Ted Cruz for this. He said, these are Christians that are being tortured and murdered for their faith. He said, Cruz's comments are off. You've got to support persecuted Christians. He said, even though Christians don't agree with me on every issue, I will support any that are being persecuted. Well, good for you, Rick Santorum. I would go in and say something like, this is Rick Santorum's words, and I like these. He says, I'd go in and say something like, if you don't stand with Israel, you're wrong. And he would, tell them what, the reason why, blah, blah, blah. But I would also say that if you don't share that point with me, I'm not going to walk out on you. So Ted Cruz walked out on a Christian group because they didn't support Israel. Who does he stand with then? He stands with Israel against Christians. And that's a shame. By the way, Ted Cruz, who is he really? Sure, he's a Zionist, but he's a Harvard graduate. His wife is an employee of Goldman Sachs Bank. You know Goldman Sachs, the Jewish-owned bank. Now, Ted Cruz, no sooner had got elected to the Senate from the state of Texas, and he got with Senator McConnell, his pal, who's now the Senate Majority Leader, and they both traveled to Israel together. He hadn't even been sworn in as senator yet, but he flew on a private jet with Senator McConnell to visit Israel. What was he doing? Getting his marching orders? They were telling the guy what to do, what to say. In the 2 months before he attained office as senator, Ted Cruz visited twice on a private jet to Israel. Now, let's go to Rand Paul. Now, Ron Paul showed no favoritism. He was America first, and that was it. But Rand Paul favors Israel. He favors Israel. He says they're the only democracy in the Middle East. Well, Turkey is a democracy. So that's a lie right away. But second of all, of course, we're going to have to go fast here. Rand Paul, he said to the Associated Press, I am visited every day by Jews, by Jewish officials. He's visited every day. He was actually boasting of his ties with the Jews. The Jewish lobbyists visit him every day. Wow. Governor John Kasich, he was at the Sheldon Adelson conference in Las Vegas. He's pro-banks. He was on the banking committee when he was a congressman. Now he's the governor of Ohio. He's pro-immigration. Governor Walker, he bragged that he owns a Jewish menorah. I keep it in my home, he says. He was given $650,000 from Sheldon Adelson last year. It's the governor of Wisconsin. Rick Perry, governor of Texas. You know Rick Perry. He's for immigration reform, too. Don't believe him when he says, I send the National Guard down there, the Texas National Guard. Listen to this. On the YouTube are two interesting videos. He danced twice. He danced with the rabbis, the Hatikva. He danced with the rabbis. Rick Perry dancing with the rabbis. Unbelievable. And there's more. Chris Christie, of course, went to the Adelson meeting and he bragged about his travel to Israel and on and on and on. All these people are Zionists. All of them are pro-war. All of them are anti-Palestinian. They're not America first. Rand Paul was probably the closest, but even he knows where his bread is buttered. Folks, the Jews have clout. They have the media. They have the money. They control the American political system. And if we want a president who's a Jew, doesn't matter what their blood is. They're the same as a Jew. Barack Obama says, I have a Jewish soul. I have a Jewish soul. Really? This is Tex Mars, friends. You've been listening to Zionists for Puppets today, the real story of the Republicans running for president of the United States. There's a couple more here, Marco Rubio and others that I didn't get around to. But it all turns out to the same thing, doesn't it? I'm Tex Mars, friends, inviting you each week during the same time, tune in and discover the power of prophecy.